And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Is it reasonable to believe in miracles? Any information on this would be greatly received. Well, the answer to the question is not a simple yes or no. It could be yes or no. It depends on what you mean by believing in miracles. And the reason I have to answer it yes and no is because it's the difference in believing whether or not the miracles of the Bible actually occurred, or whether we're talking about miracles or so-called miracles that many claim to perform today. For example, many people read the Bible and they reject the miracles that are recorded there. They read of the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, and they say, no, that's not possible. It was really just a swampy marsh and they marched across it. They reject the miracle that God performed in delivering Israel from Egypt. Many people read about the miracles that Jesus performed in the New Testament, and they say, no, there are natural explanations for all of these things. Many people may have just been deceived, or many people may have misunderstood, or they might have been so emotionally caught up in the moment that they believed it was a miracle when really it wasn't. If we're talking about rejecting miracles like that, then what we're doing is denying the power of God. We're saying that God is not all-powerful. We're not even saying that God is good. Because if we reject the miracles of the Bible, we are calling God a liar. The Bible claims that these were miracles, that they were done by God's power. You may remember the Pharisees of Jesus' day rejected those miracles. They said that he was doing them by the power of the devil. Jesus said this isn't possible because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus was clearly in opposition to opposing the devil, so he was not doing things by the power of the devil. Now, if you're asking about miracles that many say are performed today, then the answer is no. It's not reasonable to believe in those. Let's look at a couple of things. First of all, miracles had a very specific purpose. In Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 20, we read that they went out, and this is the apostles, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now let's look at the miracles they did, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You see, God worked with the apostles and those preachers of the first century to prove to people that their message was true. Well, he did so by giving them the ability to do miracles. God, in a sense, through the miracles, was testifying that the word that the men spoke were actually true. Now, we also have a reason that these miracles were recorded for us. In John chapter 20, in verses 30 and 31, John says that Jesus did many things that aren't even recorded, but the ones that are recorded that we might believe. Now, he wants us to believe by recording for us the power that he demonstrated in working miracles. So we see that there was a purpose in the first century for them doing miracles, and there was also a purpose in recording for us the miracles that were done. However, we must look at how the ability to do miracles was passed on from one person to another. In Acts chapter 2, we see that the apostles received the ability to do that because they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is shown to us again in Acts chapter 10, a very unique circumstance where Cornelius and his household were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But we also learn from Acts chapter 8, specifically verse 18, that the ability to pass on this ability to do miracles rested only with the apostles. It was because the apostles laid their hands on people that they would receive these gifts and be able to do these miracles. Now, as we have no apostles today, we have lost the ability to continue to pass on those miracles. Is this a mistake? Is this something that happened by accident? Well, the answer is no. We can see that there is a designed end to miracles. We can't pass them on today because we don't have apostles today. We don't need them today, though. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10, there the Apostle Paul kind of sums up something that he had been teaching them really for two chapters. In chapter 12, he looked at all of the wonderful spiritual gifts that God had given to the church at Corinth. The ability to prophesy and to speak in tongues and to heal. And he looked at all of these gifts and he chastised them for using them improperly. But he then goes on in chapter 13 to show that there was a time coming when those things would pass away. The ability to do these miracles would pass away because their need would pass away. When we received the gospel, that which is perfect, then the need for those miracles was done away. God now reveals himself and proves himself through his word and not through doing additional miracles. I hope you find that answer helpful.